Hey everyone, in this episode of the On.NET Show, we're going to learn all about endpoint routing in ASP.NET Core 3 and 3.1 with our friend Ryan. Welcome to another episode of the On.NET Show. And so in this episode, we're actually going to be doing like a little bit of a series talking about different features about ASP.NET Core 3. And so today I have Ryan, who's actually on the ASP.NET team, to talk about some really interesting features that are inside of the framework. So Ryan, what's going on, man? Like, welcome to the show.
Hey, Cecil. Cool. It's good to be here. As you mentioned, I'm Ryan. I work on ASP.NET Core. I've been part of the team for a pretty long while now. And I work on mostly MVC, Blazor, routing, HP Client Factory, a whole bunch of different stuff that we're going to talk about today.
Cool. So I know with 3.0 and, you know, 3.1, there's tons of new features and, you know, tons of new capabilities that were enabled. But today, I really want to talk about endpoint routing. Now, okay. I've seen you do conference talks, I've seen YouTube videos, and I'm just like, what is this thing, right? Like, what exactly is it? How does it work? And why do we even have it, right? So sure. It'll be really cool if you can give us a little bit of an overview about what exactly is endpoint routing.
Sure. Well, routing I sort of think of as like the beating heart of the framework. Like routing's really at the center of everything. Like before anything else happens in the framework, you have to make a decision about where you're going, right? And that's kind of what routing does for you, is like a request comes in, where is it going? Once you figure out where it's going, you can do all kinds of other decisions or have all kinds of other functionality based on that. So endpoint routing is new in 3.0, or well, it was kind of had a soft opening in 2.2. We replaced the implementation of routing with it in 2.2, and we kept the APIs the same. And 3.0 and 3.1, which you should be using 3.1, not 3.0, are the sort of like real debut of endpoint routing. And you can think of it as like a total rewrite of the routing system, with a couple goals in mind. We addressed a bunch of pain points. We addressed a bunch of things that users have been asking for. We unified the routing system across a whole bunch of different frameworks. So the routing system that's used by MVC is the same as the routing system used by SignalR. It's the same as gRPC. It's the same as Blazor on the server, all those kinds of things. And then performance. We put a lot of work into tuning the performance of routing and optimizing it both for scenarios where you have just a few routes as well as scenarios where you have like a massive route table.
So I know before we had like the traditional routing, right? Like, so I have to do, you know, inside of my configure method, inside of my startup, I'd have an app.mapmvc or, you know, map default route or something like that. And then we also have attribute routing. Right.
Yep.
So does this change any of those, or does it replace those things, or is this just like an additional option that we have?
Yeah. So you should sort of think about endpoint routing as like if you're an MVC user or a web API user, you should sort of think about endpoint routing as like an upgrade for the things that you've been doing before. You'll find that pretty much everything works the same. There's only a couple of small things that are different. And the kinds of experiences that you're used to in the past will still work the same. Basically, all your friends are there. So like, if you're used to using map controllers, there's a new API that's really similar to map controllers. If you're used to using attribute routes, literally nothing changes. Like, stuff just works. So there's some changes to startup code. But other than that, we've done a bunch of work to try and keep things working the way that you're familiar with, in addition to adding some new things. So Okay. Why don't we look at some code? And I want to talk about first some of the problems that we try to solve with endpoint routing and how we do those. So let's go to some code. Okay, so I've got a very simple MVC application here, and I've got an old startup and a new startup. And the reason why I'm showing you this is I'm showing you how we can use the old routing system and the new routing system, and we're going to talk about some of the problems that we solved here. So this is an ASP.NET Core 3 app, and I'm using add MVC with MVC options, enable endpoint routing false. So this is the thing that you must do in 3.0 if you want to continue to use the old routing system. And other than that, all of this stuff is the same. So let me run this and give you a brief tour of what this application is doing. So this will start, and I've got ASP.NET Core identity here. So we've got like the familiar register and login kinds of links here. And I've got a homepage, which you're looking at right now, and I've got this like secret page. So if I click to this secret page, it's going to give me the login screen. And the reason why I get the login screen is on my controller, I've got the authorize attribute. So this is probably something that you've all seen before. Like it's something pretty familiar that we're all used to in ASP.NET Core. I can just slap authorize attribute on a class, a controller class or an action method, and then I get authorization on that thing, which is pretty good, pretty useful. The other thing that I've got here is I've got this health checks endpoint. Health checks is a service or a middleware that you might use in ASP.NET Core if you want to expose an endpoint that's for like a monitoring system or some kind of health checking system to like ping your app and see if it's alive. And it's customizable and it's cool. But one of the questions that we get a lot from people is like, how would I secure this endpoint? So I'm going to go ahead and grab this URL and come here and just prove to you that like, okay, this is not secured. So like anybody who wants to could come to this thing. What if I wanted somebody who's logged in? What if I wanted you to have to be logged in to come to this endpoint? Well, there's really no way to do that in ASP.NET Core 2x with the old routing system because things like authentication and stuff like that are not shared. So let's flip over to the new routing system and take a look at how that works. And I'm just going to toggle which startup code that I'm using here. So we're going to introduce now some of the endpoint routing startup code, and we'll do a little bit of a comparison with the old code. So you can ignore this. We'll talk about this later. And you notice that there's more code here. There's more stuff going on. And I really want to highlight like this part of the code. So we've got use routing, which adds a endpoint routing middleware. Then inside of there, we've got use authentication and use authorization, which are my security things. Use authorization is new, by the way. And then we've got this use endpoints. Use endpoints is where you define your endpoints and where you sort of like wire stuff up or map stuff in. You can think about use endpoints as being the equivalent to, in the past, we had use MVC with a delegate. So you could think about that as being equivalent to this, where you have a place to put all your routes with a route builder. This is the endpoint routing way to map a bunch of stuff in. So inside of here, I've got Razor pages wired up because that's doing identity. I've got a controller route here for my conventional route for my controller. And something different here is I've got health checks. I've actually hooked health checks up to routing now instead of health checks being a middleware, which is pretty cool. And then the other thing that I can do with that is I can say require authorization on that. So I can actually now apply an authorization policy to health checks. Most of the things that interact with routing now return a builder. So there's all kinds of different things that you can attach to something like health checks that's going to apply policies or modify the behavior of that. The other cool thing about this is I mentioned that we unified the routing system. So along with endpoints, you can see that there's a bunch of functionality here for things like doing routing to pages, doing Razor pages, mapping dynamic routes, and then also some of our other frameworks. So you can see like Blazor is here. So if I were doing Blazor server, I would have this here and it's part of the same routing system. If I were doing SignalR, I would use map hub. I don't have any hubs here, so I can't do that. And if I were doing gRPC, I would say map gRPC service. This isn't going to resolve because I don't have the package, but you get the idea. So we've really turned routing into sort of this hub that like everything can get connected to. A cool tidbit about this, by the way, when James implemented gRPC support for ASP.NET Core, he didn't implement anything to do with authorization because it's now handled at a higher level. We now do authorization via middleware, which is this thing. So like one of the biggest differences here is authorization used to be a feature that was plugged into MVC or plugged into SignalR. Now it's plugged into routing. So everything else that plugs into routing gets to use these features and benefit from them without having to rebuild the functionality that's in MVC or that's in SignalR. Make sense, Cecil?
Yeah, it does. And I actually have a question about how this has changed how we're doing middleware exactly. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things I see when I'm looking at this file is on line 56, there's a use routing. Yep. And then at a line 75, there's a use endpoints. Yep. So I'm guessing, you know, at line 56, this is routing middleware that's being injected. And then between 56 and 75, the stuff that goes in there are things that are are endpoint routing aware.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm guessing there's a reason why use authentication and use authorization come after use routing and not before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's definitely a reason. So we think about this as the area in between here. I like to call it like the routing zone is in here. Anything that's inside here gets to see and react to whatever choices were made by routing, and gets to sort of look at the data that was provided by routing and then do things like modify what's going to happen or apply policies like authorization. And we'll take a look. I have a couple slides to talk about sort of how this thing works. And then we'll jump into an example, and we can look at some of the data in more detail that something like use authorization would use. So one of the things that we talked about already is like, why would we replace the routing system? And we looked at a code sample that demonstrates some of these problems. From our point of view, maybe not so much from somebody writing, the point of view of somebody writing applications on ASP.NET Core, we frequently talk to people trying to author extensibility or trying to build frameworks or third-party packages on top of ASP.NET Core. And the same set of comments or the same sort of concerns repeated a lot, which were things like, hey, I'm building a framework. Like, how should I do security? How can I integrate with ASP.NET Core security story? And the approach that we were using of having security just baked into our frameworks wasn't really scaling up. And so the outcome was people either didn't know how to integrate with security if they were building custom functionality, or they thought it was too hard and they just sort of built something custom instead, which isn't a great experience because you really want something like security to be uniform. The other thing is that we're scaling up the number of frameworks that we're providing and we're building. So we're not going to talk much about it in this talk, but like, we have server-side Blazor now. We have gRPC now. ASP.NET Core has all this rich functionality and more frameworks and more integration points with different technologies. And we wanted to have a good foundation to build those things on top of so that the experience could be consistent and things could be uniform. And then the last thing is that we really frequently needed to add more functionality that handles requests and responds to things. And middleware or MVC was kind of the only thing that we had for it. We really wanted to create something or have the ability to use something that's in between like a middleware and a controller. It doesn't always feel right for like ASP.NET to ship functionality with controllers and us to put controllers in your application. So we avoid it. So what is endpoint routing fundamentally? Well, it's those two middleware. And those two middleware define what we think of as like a routing zone or an area where middleware can be routing aware. And then the sort of separate components of this are, we have this new data type called endpoint. And endpoint is a new primitive that lives on the HTTP context. And it represents what was selected by routing. So you can think of an endpoint as a piece of data that will tell you, here's where this request is going, as well as some information about the thing that it's going to. Then the second piece, you have middleware that live inside the routing zone, like the authorization middleware. And those middleware use metadata rather than that are general purpose, rather than specific pieces of like framework specific knowledge like MVC. And what's nice about this is that you can have different frameworks that provide different kinds of endpoints, and the middleware don't have to change. They don't really have to know what's being executed. They just look for the metadata that they care about. And then the last part is, we've defined that zone because we've separated selecting a route from executing the route, which allows you to put middleware in between. So let's jump back to the code real quick and let's poke around with some endpoints and see if we can understand what they're like. So what I've got here is I've expanded that little area that I was hiding from y'all before, and I'm gonna run this sample and set a breakpoint in here, and we're gonna run under the debugger, and then we'll be able to look at some of this data that we're getting in the debugger that's going to tell us about what an endpoint is. So this is launching. And while this is launching, I just want to point out, like, I've written a middleware that sits in between use routing and use endpoints. And this is the kind of thing that you can do if you want to experiment with stuff or you want to see this. I think our documentation have a pretty similar sample to this. So I've hit this breakpoint, and inside of this code, I've got the endpoint from the HTTP context. Now, this getEndpoint is a new method in 3.0 that lives on the HTTP context, and it will return the endpoint if you have one, and it will return null if you don't have one. So I'm in the routing zone, and my URL matched, so I have an endpoint. That's because I went to the root URL of the site, which is going to match. If I had gone to a URL that doesn't match anything, I would not have an endpoint here. I would have null. So if you do write this kind of code, be prepared to handle the case where routing didn't match anything. The endpoint's going to be null.
So Ryan, I actually got a question about this part right now that you're talking about. So looking at the code, right, looking at the code very sequentially, your middleware is at the top and you actually map your endpoints at the bottom. So yes. How is it that middleware that happens before my endpoints knows about the endpoints that I've mapped further on in the code?
That is the million-dollar question. The answer is with a lot of trickery. So like the real answer is that we started with use routing being the place where you put the endpoints and use endpoints with the place that they get executed. We also experimented with designs where use endpoints was optional and you could just leave it out. And I think we previewed maybe three or four different designs of this during the 3.0 previews. And we mocked up and played with, at least on paper, three or more different designs internally before we even shipped anything to y'all in a preview. And the answer is that this is the one that felt the best. This is the one that people were least confused by, even though it doesn't reflect reality. Sometimes we lie to you. sometimes we trick you. We'd like to think that it's for your own good. So the truth is that this is the thing that does the routing. This thing, when you call use routing, it puts some state on the app builder. And when you call use endpoints, it retrieves that state and then actually adds the endpoints to it. So that's a great question.
Okay, got it.
But we try to be driven by these things. We try to be driven in these decisions by the thing that's going to confuse the least people and is easiest to understand. I think it makes sense that people see use endpoints here and then see the code that's going to get executed. Like my health checks endpoint logically executes here in the pipeline. It is selected here, right? So let's take a look at this endpoint. My endpoint here maps to my MVC controller. And you can look at this and you can see that it is a route endpoint. So we got some routing information. We got this object that's called a route pattern. And I think maybe we'll use the inspect window to look at that. We got the route pattern and you can see there's all kinds of information over here about the route pattern. It's gonna basically give us what was the original route that matched, that took us to the thing that we're going to. And then the endpoint is gonna have like a lot more stuff. So if we look at the endpoint, the endpoint has got a display name. In this case, the display name is like the name of the action method on the controller because that's where we're going to. And then the really interesting thing that we've got here is we've got all this metadata. And you can sort of think of metadata as like a property bag where everything we know about the thing that's going to be executed goes. So because of the fact that this is an MVC controller, we've got a controller attribute. We've got the controller action filter. We've got the save temp data attribute. We've got some more filters and some more metadata that are related to MVC. And you can see all these types have MVC in the name. This one is a really interesting one because this is an MVC action. This is actually MVC's action descriptor if you've ever messed with one of those. And so all the information that MVC needs to execute this action method has actually been packed into this endpoint so that MVC can get it back later and can execute it. So like you can see, we've actually got the method info of the thing that's going to be called. We've got the route values that map to this thing. We've got controller equals home, index equals action. The other thing that's kind of cool about this too is now that routing has been integrated at the middleware layer, we've actually got a way to get route values from the HTTP context so that you can retrieve the route values in a middleware and mess with them.
That's cool. So that property bag that you were talking about, would that include security policies and information like that as well that folks can inspect?
It does. It very conveniently does. And we can show that in just a second. The thing that I wanted to mention about it that's kind of cool is like, don't do this, but if you want to understand how the authorization middleware works sort of in isolation, you can think about the authorization middleware as looking something like this, right? We want to get an authorization policy and then execute it, which is what authorization does. We have an endpoint, we can go to the metadata and we can say get metadata, and I think it's authorization policy or I authorize. Anyway, there's a metadata. The name is slipping my mind at the moment, but there's a metadata that's associated with authorization that we can actually get from the endpoint. And then we can come here and we can say, okay, if policy is not equal to null, then do authorization. Now, the actual authorization system is slightly more complex than this, but conceptually, this is what's happening when we do endpoints. Let's go ahead and see that in action, since you talked about it, and I'm sure, just going to zoom out real quick. So we're going to run this again, and what I'm going to do this time is I mentioned to you that I've got my health checks endpoint, and my health checks endpoint requires authorization. So let's go to that health checks endpoint, and then we can see, let's go to that health checks endpoint, and then we can see if we have an authorization policy, and we can see what happens because we're not logged in. So unbroken the endpoint. So you can see I've got this health checks endpoint. Health checks, our endpoints can have a display name. So one of the things that map health checks does is it creates an endpoint and assigns it a display name so you can see what it is. This display name will appear in things like logs as well to help keep things descriptive. So in my metadata, I would expect to find an authorize metadata. And you can see right here, we've got Microsoft ASP.NET Core authorization dot authorize attribute. So literally the authorize attribute shows up in metadata, just like our controller. Our controller has an authorize attribute on it, on that secret endpoint. And if I looked at the metadata for that endpoint, I would see that authorize attribute here. So require authorization literally just takes the authorize attribute and adds it to a collection of metadata. Now, since I'm not logged in, I'm just going to hit go here and we'll see what happens. So since I'm not logged in, the authorization system is going to see that metadata. It's going to take action and it's going to redirect me unless I am logged in. Let's see. Still churning away here. I think we timed out. I think that's what happened. So yeah, so now I've been redirected and you can see that I've been redirected to the account login thing. And the metadata is going to be kind of different here. You can see that this has got allow anonymous on it because obviously you need to let people that aren't logged into your login page. And you can see that we've got some like Razor pages stuff here now instead of just MVC stuff. And this is because the login page is implemented with Razor pages in identity. So you can see we, you know, in our middleware, we observed that we had gone to health checks. We saw that we had an authorization metadata. And then we saw that the authorization system, which runs after us right here, kicked us out and redirected us to somewhere else. And then we saw where we got redirected to just from looking at endpoints and metadata.
So this is a really interesting view about how you could just, you know, create like this ad hoc piece of middleware and kind of just put it in just like that. And yeah, it kind of makes me think about in previous versions, right, before endpoint routing, you know, essentially everything was middleware, right? Like MVC was middleware. It was, you know, app.useMVC and app.use static files and use this and use that, right? And all of those were essentially like turned into, were helpful methods that turned into middleware. So now that some of these pieces have gone into that endpoint routing section at the bottom, like what exactly is happening there? Because I'm kind of wondering, are we writing middleware any differently, or were things just converted from middleware to endpoints? You know what I mean? Sure. Like what does this kind of mean for folks that have written their own frameworks and stuff and want to plug into endpoint routing, but before they wrote them as middleware, and now, you know, there's a new world that they have to play in?
Yeah. So there are two things here. So if you're a framework, let's say you're some complex framework like SignalR or something like that, there's a property here called data sources. And data sources is really the sort of like, it's the type is endpoint data source. Data sources is really the sort of like power user way to provide endpoints. Data sources lets you update the collection of endpoints. Routing supports updates as well. And lets you do like really powerful stuff where you dynamically add and remove endpoints, or you dynamically define endpoints. So features like map controller route from MVC that define a lot of endpoints, or the features in MVC that add your attribute routed controllers, definitely use endpoint data sources and use that sort of powerful thing. It's a little bit complicated, but if you really are writing a framework, it's probably where you should start. Now, for something like health checks, I can actually write the implementation of this in line. There's a pretty simple way to do stuff like this, and the technical term for this that I came up with is routerware, which is a term that I'm proud of. You can nice. Turn any middleware into routerware. So endpoints has got a method on it here. I'm trying to think of what it's called. The endpoint builder has got a function on it. That's where it is, create application builder. And this will actually create you a new application builder. So like this app right here is an application builder. I can get another application builder and create a sub pipeline. So I'll call this my app, or I'll call this nested, to make it really clear that it's not the same app builder, it's a nested app builder. So I'll use my nested app builder, and I'll say nested use health checks, and I'll pass in health z here, which is sort of a traditional name that people use for health checks. So I've created the nested middleware pipeline. I've added the health checks middleware as a middleware to the nested pipeline. And then I need to do something to hook that up to routing. Now there's this basic primitive thing here called map. And map you can sort of think of as like the most basic way to hook something up to the endpoint builder. And the name map was chosen on purpose. So like, notice that we've got map on the application builder.
Right.
And map on the application builder takes a path string and a delegate. Well, map on the endpoint builder is meant to be really similar. It's a way to fork the pipeline using routing instead of forking the pipeline using middleware. So I can pass this into my map. So I'll say health checks, health z, and I actually don't want a URL here. I want to just listen on all URLs, which I think there's a way to do. I think there's a way to do it. I'm trying to, it's slipping my mind what it is.
Probably just like a slash or something, maybe, or?
Yeah. We're not actually going to try this because then it won't fail.
Sure.
There's a way to do it. If you're curious about the actual implementation of health checks, go take a look at it. But we're going to call map here, and then I'm going to pass in my nested pipeline. And then in order to convert an application builder to a request delegate, I just call build. So it basically makes a function that can be invoked. The signature of request delegate is the same signature that you get with middleware. So I've created the nested application builder pipeline, and then I've told routing, route requests that go to health z to this pipeline. So this is really similar to the kinds of things that you can do with use. So use takes, like, this is a request delegate, or run takes request delegate. So we're actually using like the same delegate types for routing as we use with middleware, so that these things end up being directly compatible with each other. So this is actually really similar to the implementation of map health checks. It's just a helper that takes an existing middleware, creates a pipeline, and then wires it up. So you can think about routing as not necessarily a different thing, but a new primitive that interacts with some of these existing primitives. By the way, map, we talked about this before, does return that builder. So if I wanted to, I could do things like require authorization on my middleware pipeline.
Oh, so nice.
I think I'll require authorization, and I'll set the display name for logging purposes. So all those rich sort of features that you would expect from a framework like MVC, you can now get with these very bare bones, like sort of primitives.
Right. So essentially, I could just create an extension method to that endpoints type that'll wrap my middleware to do some of these things. So instead of all that additional code that you wrote, you just write map health checks essentially. Right, and then it'll wire up some of that cool stuff for you.
Exactly. And then the other dimension of extensibility here is like, we think about things that belong in the routing zone as being like, it's good for features that want to be routing aware and want to implement cross-cutting concerns or cross-cutting policies. So obviously security things come to mind, because security features are one of those areas where you tend to want to specialize based on the action method, based on the razor page, based on the endpoint, what is the security behavior of this thing? So some other things that you might think about that could be implemented in a routing aware way would be like a rate limiting middleware, or a request queuing middleware, or even like some of the samples that I put in the documentation are like audit logging. Like, do you want to log every request that goes into a certain endpoint? Like, you could either put that code in your controller, or you could implement it in a cross-cutting way. And then if you have more usage of it in the future, you can use metadata to tag stuff and have it just sort of work. So it gives you another dimension on how to share things. And it's not tied to a framework like MVC. So if you're using gRPC tomorrow, or you're using health checks, or you're using some external package that does its own functionality, you can write middleware that apply to all those things based on metadata.
Wow, this is really cool, man. And this is, I feel like I understand this concept way better now than what I did before. So definitely thank you for sharing all this cool information with us. Do you have any like links or documentations or samples or anything like that that we could pass some to some of our viewers so they could learn a little bit more about how endpoint routing works?
Yeah, so the main thing that I would want to highlight for anybody, the routing documentation for 3.1 and for 3.0, or might be just for 3.1, is all new. So Rick Anderson and I worked very hard on this, and the routing documentation is all new and has a really good sort of explanation for these kinds of things. A lot of what you saw today was samples, because there's so much more here than there was really time to talk about in this video. So you get some information here about the concepts, which we talked about in this video, practical examples like a lot of what you've seen here, as well as things like guidance for writing a library, for writing your own middleware, for hooking up middleware to routing, as well as things like how to turn up diagnostics for routing. These docs were a labor of love, and hopefully you find them useful.
Hey, thank you again, Ryan, so much for coming on. If folks want to get in contact with you on social media or anything like that, like, do you have any, are you on the socials or anything like that?
I'm on Twitter. The best way to give us feedback and ask questions is always GitHub. Okay. Be shy about asking questions or about giving feedback, or just, you know, something's not clear, something's not good. We love feedback on GitHub, github.com/.net, ASP.NET Core. We're now in the .NET org. Update your bookmarks. You can find me personally on Twitter. My handle is a very spicy boy. That's with an I.
Nice.
I don't have it written down anywhere, but you can find me on Twitter, or you can find David Fowler on Twitter, and we'd be happy to talk to you.
Awesome. So thank you for coming on, and thank everyone here for watching. And you've had another episode of the On.NET Show. We've learned about endpoint routing from Ryan.